host Alexa, and today I'm joined by my friend Addie.
Hi guys.
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
I'm so excited to be here.
I've wanted to have you on the podcast for so long.
Oh my gosh.
Like one of the people that I was like, oh my gosh, she's so cool. She needs to come on and talk about her story and just, yeah. So anyway, Addie is one of my oldest friends.
Literally.
When did we become friends? Like fourth grade?
Dude, I think it was like second grade. Like, I think. Or was it fourth? It was elementary school.
Yeah, it was elementary school. Basically, my parents, we moved into a, like, new townhome development. Well, not new. New to us.
New to us. It was, she was old.
And in the same block, Addie lived. And that's how we became friends. We were the only two of, like, the same age on our block.
We were. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I broke into her home, and I said, want to play? Do you remember
that? No.
Remember? I knocked on your door, and then your little brother opened it and let me in, and then he just left. And he was like, I'll be back. But I left the whole door open, and I was like,
that's so him.
Do I come in? What do I do? Like, I'm just a kid. I don't know. So I walked in, and I was like, hello? And I'm like, on your landing, and you came in, you were like, hello? And I was like, would you like to play with me?
Did we play?
Yeah, we did.
Oh my God, wait. Yeah, because I think I wanted to be your friend too.
I think we did. And thus began a beautiful friendship of American Girl dolls and
God. All of the things.
All
yeah.
of the things. What did we used to do? Kool-Aid slushies. We used ice and Kool-Aid. Oh my gosh. Kool-Aid.
That is such a core memory for me because we just used the Kool-Aid packets and no sugar. So it was so sour. But so like sour. We liked it.
Loved it.
Loved it.
And the ice did not get blended well. No. We were bringing it.
We would make forts. We would play. Oh my gosh. I remember one time we played the card game Garbage. Yeah. Until like, so every round, if you've never played it, you have like 10 cards in front of you. You have to get them in order, ace and through number 10.
Yes.
And then if you win the round, you can remove a card. So then you're down to only 9 cards, 8 cards. Mm-hmm. We played until we went all the way down to 1 and then all the way back up to 10. And we're like, okay, well, this is what happens when your parents go to work all day and it's summer and you have nothing better to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know.
Because I remember we'd daydream about like, oh, there should be a pool in this neighborhood.
Yes. We'd be mapping it out. We'd be like planning it.
They should do this as if we were in kind of like a low income area. Like, no one was putting a pool in that neighborhood.
No, we were in such a low income area that the ice cream trucks would fucking stop at like the start of our street and turn around.
They knew.
Yeah. They would literally turn around. They'd be like, no, they don't got money up there. And we'd be like standing there like, fair,
we have
dude.
To go down to the corner.
Yeah, like you're a businessman. I respect it.
I'm like, the ice cream man used to always stop in front of my house down in the neighborhood because we just moved out to the part of the neighborhood. Like we moved from the part of the neighborhood that was houses to the part of the neighborhood that was townhomes.
Oh, well, you know. Well,
but that resulted in our friendship.
Yeah.
And it was, we had so much fun. Mm-hmm. Grew up together a lot. Like,
yeah.
I was not nice all the time. Like,
it's okay.
And we've
grown. Neither was I.
Every time I see you, I feel the need to apologize for my actions when I was 11.
Yeah, Alexa put me through the ringer. I'm kidding. No, look. No. We were kids. Listen, it was crazy. Literally, you are the friend who's seen me through the most phases of my life.
It's so, I was literally, because I was like, oh my gosh, I was trying to find some pictures from earlier this morning, and I found pictures of us, like, selfies in the bathroom at our Wednesday night church that we would go to together.
God.
And we thought we were so cool.
We did. We're standing on those toilets, guys. Standing on toilets.
Each in our own.
In the stall. In the mirror. So you could get the full outfit. Yeah. Because we were like.
And it would be, like, before church, like, we need a fit.
A fit.
A fit.
A fit. Yeah.
And what was my fit? Like, an off-the-shoulder blue top from Abercrombie that I like begged my mom for.
And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you know the one because it was probably the fit very often. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of clothes then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And like.
And the stick straight hair.
Oh, God. With the clip. And
oh, God. It was such. Oh, it was such a sign of the times.
It was.
And I was thinking about, do you remember that photo booth picture we have? And I'm wearing.
Yeah.
That shirt.
Is it the sushi
this
one?
This is how I roll it.
Yeah. It's sushi. The sushi shirt. Of course I do. Because
I thought I was that girl in that shirt.
And respectfully, you were that girl.
Honestly, I was thinking about it. I was like, it's so funny because it's such a like, God, where is that from? It had to have been from, what was that store called? Like Deb or Low?
I think it was Justice Girl. Like, I think that was a
no, I think it was from like Wet Seal or
it
something.
It was?
I don't
oh my
know.
God. I,
something that was like, oh, there used to be, I think it was called Deb.
Maybe.
Or something. I don't know. But anyway, just like cringy graphic t-shirts.
Oh, absolutely.
And back, like when I think of it, looking back, I'm like, I thought it was really cool and it was probably really cringy. But if I think about it now, I'm like, wait, I would wear that now, like non-ironically.
Yeah.
Or kind of ironically. It's kind of funny.
It is hilarious. Yeah. I mean, I would literally have daydreams of stealing that shirt from you. I was like, if only I could have that fucking shirt. Oh, God, I want it so bad. Like, it was so cute. And then there was another one, I think, that like was like PB&J. And it was like two pieces of toast that had yes! little smiley faces. It was like, we're jamming or something.
I think I got that sweatshirt at Justice.
Yeah.
That one was Justice.
That was Justice.
That was the one. Mm-hmm. And I, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So many funny things that I look back. I'm like, oh, it was so cringy, but it was such a sign of the times. And like,
it was.
We had the best times.
Best time.
Playing games. And one of the things that we used to do a lot, like we were in, like I said, we were into the fits, we were into the fashion.
Oh yeah.
So we would talk about like what our dream outfit was. We would play this one video game that was like a fashion game.
Oh my gosh,
the things I would give to play that game now. Like, I'm really curious what it was, because we would spend hours and hours in your room playing that game.
Yeah. It was the My Scene Girls, right? Where it was like the shopping, and you'd go to the mall and you'd pick your event you're gonna do, and then you'd pick your shirt and your skirt, and we would
Oh, and you'd like pick the pattern or whatever. Yes. And I remember one of them was khaki, and you called it kayaki, and it was like a big fight in our friendship.
Here's the thing. There have been many times in my life where I have been humbled by my pronunciation of things. And even into my 20s, when, hear me out, I literally, here's the thing, you hear the word hors d'oeuvres and you don't think how it's spelled. You just hear it.
No, exactly.
Then you see it written on a page for the first time and tell me why I thought it was hors d'oeuvres. And
hors d'oeuvres.
It's like, and I said that with my full chest, and I was with my friend, and she goes,
"Stop!"
Hors d'oeuvres.
Not when you were working at a restaurant in New York. That didn't happen.
Yeah. Oh, that's where it was. Hors d'oeuvres. And she goes, "Hors d'oeuvres." I went,
it's like one of those times that everything clicks in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. This isn't quite hors d'oeuvres. But when I was nannying, one of, like, my nanny mom had said, like, oh, yeah, there, she wrote me a note. And was like, there's this in the fridge, whatever. And I was like, yeah. She had me feed them Chicama. And I was like, what is, what is that? Like, I'm looking for these sticks of Chicama. And my friend goes, you mean fucking jicama?
And you're like, pardon?
I've never had jicama. Yeah.
You're like, come again? Oh my God. I just love it so much, but I do remember that. Yeah.
That
Listen,
was good.
But we were two strong, independent women, and we knew what we wanted, and that's just how it was.
Yeah. And oh my God, the hell we used to put your mom through too, because we would make up dances in your living room. We spent all day
making,
and we're like,
routine.
Oh, we're getting a sleepover for this one. Shelly's like, I just want peace. Like,
I just want peace.
Like, no, I don't want two of you in my home.
Right? And like the amount of times, like, she had to probably listen to the same song play over and over and over.
And we'd give her this like awful, not worth watching dance, and she's like, I am working two jobs.
Yep.
And you stay here, you eat my Cheez-Its all day. And now you want to make me sit and watch this awful dance just so you can ask if you can bother me more tonight.
I know. But you know what? She did. And she clapped.
She sat and she listened and she was so patient.
She gave a standing ovation sometimes. I said, girl, this is not worth it. We'd be at the end.
And the way we would like fight about this as if it was that deep. Like,
oh, the moves. We'd be like, no, do not go into a turn and then, no, we need to do different. No, different. And we'd be like, oh my God, this... Creative differences, okay?
Creative differences. I'm just so happy that we had a friendship like that in childhood. Like, it's just like a peak epitome.
Yeah.
girlhood, and 100%. It was so fun. We had each other in that neighborhood full of boys, and
God, yeah, I think we were literally the only two kids that were girls in the neighborhood, in
like the age range, yeah. And and yeah, so it was just so good, and I feel like every time we like, we could go like years without really catching up, and every time we see each other, it's like nothing changed. Like,
I know,
and it's so fun. But what I want to say was that one of my core memories is we were in your living room at your first place, like when we were on the same row.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about like, what is your dream outfit? And we're talking about going to like a fashion school in New York, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, this is really scary, and you might want to have this removed from the internet, because like you did actually end up like pursuing real fashion. The dream outfit we came up with was a black t-shirt that was splatter paint with skinny jeans and flip flops. I can't. Oh, and we thought God. We were like, flip-flops with skinny jeans, cool girl.
Yeah,
splatter paint, she's so cool.
Oh my God, no crumbs.
Because that was like Alex Russo, like, yes, punk girl, like we wanted to be. Yeah,
we were not the Hannah Montanas, we were the Alex Russos. Let that stand.
Well, but in the end, like I so wanted to be Alex Russo, but in my heart of hearts, like, I am Hannah Montana,
and I fear that's a lot of us.
Yeah. And we all want to be the cool girl, and
listen, Hannah Montana cool in her own is the right, cool girl.
But not like rebellious
broody.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. She's not like the broody cool girl. Yeah. She's like that. And like, listen, pop it, lock it.
Yeah.
Polka dot it. I was there.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but yeah, man. Oh, splatter paint. That's awful. And like crackle nail polish, I'm sure.
Oh, that was it.
Mm-hmm. That was the moment.
Yeah. But,
God, yeah.
Yeah, so we've really just like grown up together, grown up apart, and it has been so amazing to just like to watch you and see like what things have stayed the same and what things have changed. Mm-hmm. Like, you've just glown up, and I don't just mean that like, obviously you're gorgeous, like just naturally always have been, but just like, I feel like you've always been so yourself, like so goofy, and like, I want to say not really care what other people think. I'm sure you like did, but also in the same way, you just still did it anyway. Like, you've always just done your own thing, and it's so cool. It's like, it's so inspiring, and I just feel honored to be your friend and to watch you through all of that. And just to think about, oh, I'm going to cry, because to think about how we were like sat in your living room talking about how our like the dream outfit and playing the fashion games. And you're like, I'm going to go to fashion school in New York. And bitch, you freaking did it.
I did it.
You did it.
I did. And I did do it.
So, I just...
Well, I mean, I could say the same to you. Like, I mean, I will say, I was a confident kid, and I don't know how, because there were factors pulling against me left and right. Okay, these chompers, for those who are maybe seeing a clip, I got big teeth, okay? And they came in way before the rest of my growth did. And I would smile in, like, every school picture. My mom even would be like, you never closed mouth smiled. Like, you always just grinned it up. Like, you were grinning. Like, and I don't know why.
And it's so cute to look back now. And like, you've definitely grown into your
feet. I have.
Like, everything feels proportionate. Right. Like,
we're good.
Gorgeous beauty queen.
And we're good. But
I will say,
for a minute there.
And the wireframe glasses.
Yeah. Exactly. For a minute there, we were glasses, and we were 80% mouth of a face. Like, it was just mouth. It was all mouth. But yeah, so I don't know. I've always kind of like been that way. But like I was saying, for you, I feel like just seeing you grow. Like, when we were first friends, like, you were shyer. Like, you had those times where you were like, oh, I want to like show my true self. And like, you struggled with that and like finding your groove and showing your identity and not caring what others thought. And now, like, you literally travel the world. Like, you're doing it. Like, you have grown into such a strong and independent woman. And like, it's beautiful to watch. Like, but like, it's true. Like, I just have like loved seeing it so much, and I literally brag to everyone. I'm like, that's my friend.
Shut up, you do not.
Yes, I do. Well, because it's
brag-worthy. I brag to other people. I'm like, yeah, my friend, she went to fashion school in New York, she's super super cool, she's like always just like done her own thing, she has really cool tattoos, she shaved her head in high school and dyed it pink.
That was such a move. That was a move. I did it before it was cool, y'all.
Yeah. was crazy at the time. That was not crazy. Cool
then, y'all. Which I do love that. Like, I love that now.
I love that you did that.
Yeah. And I love that, like, now, like, kids can do that and it's, like, not seen as, like, what the heck, clown?
Like, that was a scandal. Like, it was. People were not allowing their children to be friends with you anymore because, yes, God forbid, you had a pink head.
Pink head. And they're like, get this juvenile out of my home.
She's trouble.
Yeah. And
and you weren't.
I weren't.
You were doing everything that, like, a normal teenager does, but just because you had a shaved head all of a sudden.
No. This is crazy.
That really was a bold move in, like, 2014. Yeah. That's unheard of.
I know. And it was literally so punk of me. It was because a boyfriend told me I would look bad with it, and then I didn't do it, and then he dumped me anyways. And I, the day after he dumped me, I went, I'm never letting a man tell me what I can do with my hair again. And I just went and shaved it.
That's amazing. That I love it even more now. That's the best thing I've ever heard, actually.
Yeah.
And see, then, like, you just...
I just did it. I just
You
did
do
it.
What you want. And you're no like, thought. Yep.
Yeah. And is... maybe a little more thought could have been good, because the next day I did spiral and look at myself in the mirror like, oh my God, like, it's all gone. But then you just roll with it. I was like, before the pink too, it was like, wow, I'm giving army recruit.
Because you're blonde.
Yes. And, like, it was given Chia Pet, like, Chad Michael Murray in a Cinderella story. Like, I was like, okay.
People love Chad Michael Murray.
They do. Unfortunately, I don't have his bone structure, so.
It was more masculine than you were going for.
Yes, just a tad. But no, and then we pinked it up and it was great. But yeah, but no, I mean, look at you go. I mean, you have your own podcast now. Like, this is amazing. And you're doing things. It's great.
Aw, thank you. Yeah. It doesn't feel like I'm, like, doing things. I think it's so much easier to be like, yeah, this is just, like, what I'm doing, and see what you want to be doing and feel like it's not enough or this or that. So it's so grounding to then be with somebody that you literally started at ground zero with. Like, when we met, there was a lot of work to be done for both of us.
I mean, both kids with, like, crazy childhoods.
A lot of trauma. A lot of working through it and kind of, like, taking it out on each other in ways.
Yeah, I mean, and it was sisterhood. Like, it really was.
Oh, okay, now I'm really going to cry because I'm like, wait, no, actually.
Like, we were sisters.
When I think about it that way, it's like, yeah, we were, because, like, there were times where it would be like, me and Addie are not speaking right now. But then it would be a few days, get a call. Do you want to meet me halfway? You want to play American Girl Dolls?
Yes.
I'm bored. It's like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, and we're good. We always came back. I literally have a note still that you wrote me.
Oh, no.
In,
oh,
like,
no.
The sixth grade, that you, like, left at my door after a fight. And you were like, I'm so sorry that I was mean on the bus. Like, I really miss you and I love you so much. Will you please come over at this time and hang out with me? And I did. My ass was over there. I was over, and it was literally in green construction paper with, like, marker. Like, it was, like, we were children, but we,
that
listen.
That is so drama.
And so drama, so but funny. Also, I read it, and I said, oh, my girl, and I went to you. I ran to you, because here's the thing, too, guys. Like, we lived on the same street, and then I moved, but I moved literally just to a different street in the same townhome development. Like, we were there from, like...
But it was, like, a bigger place.
It was.
So there was a reason for it.
It was. There was a reason. My mom wasn't just like, I'm doing it.
Yeah, like
it
let's was, just move to the same place.
Yeah. It's a bit of an upgrade. But no, like, we literally lived in the same area until what grade did you move out? Was it, like, 10th, 9th grade?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Right before high school.
Yeah. So
we moved
literally
to Woodbury. I moved to a townhome in Woodbury.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, we literally... we're living together, hanging out, seeing each other, riding the bus home, like, hanging out, like, 4 to 5 times a week.
Yeah.
For that whole period of time from, like, 3rd, 4th grade to 9th, 10th.
And I even remember, like, I don't know why, like, you guys should have said no, but I went to, like, your family Thanksgiving or something with you guys at Uncle Bob's or something.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I said, can I bring a friend?
This is boring. I don't know.
I do not know, but it was great. You're part of the fam.
But, like, that's extremely weird that we did that.
Yeah.
But it's really funny to look back at. I'm like, oh, my God, we watched the movie My Girl. Like, I remember so many parts of that so vividly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, like...
And I feel like, too, especially, like, a testament to our friendship, as well as, like, most of the time when kids are friends that young, it's because their parents were friends, and that's why. So they
their parents don't know each other whatsoever.
They do not exchange conversation.
Would they recognize each other in the street? No.
No, not at all. And like when you moved away, like we went to different high schools and it was like teenagers and we still saw each other. We still kept in touch. We still did all of those things. And then college, like you went to school in Minnesota. I was all the way in Minnesota and then in New York and doing all this stuff. And like I think before like being back now, like we'd only seen each other like twice in like the last 3 or 4 years.
I know. But and it still just feels like I literally just feel
like nothing. Here we are.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's just amazing. Like no time has passed. And
yeah.
It's just,
but it also makes me sad because I'm like, oh my God, like why haven't we seen each other more, you know? But it's life. Just so easy. Yeah. Because you're like, oh yeah, of course I'll come visit New York for a weekend. And then it's like,
when?
Okay, none of them work.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just so easy to just not
100%
do that and just get caught up in your own everyday life that you forget to like kind of reach out to the people that aren't. And so I was so excited when I was like, you know what, you, me and Sarah, we need to get together.
Yeah.
Sarah was another one of our good friends at the time that is going to be on the podcast too. I'm super excited for that. But it's just, yeah, I feel so lucky to have like a lifelong childhood friend and like literally no matter what, like you could call me when you're like 60 years old. It could be 10 years and I'd be like, I'm there.
I'm there. Yeah. I'm there. 100%.
And it's really cool to see, to like in reflection, see and be like, okay, all the best parts of you like shine through now. Mm-hmm. And all the parts that were like, maybe there's like, you like grew up in so many ways that are like so good for you. Like, and I don't mean that in any way like you needed to change, but more like seeing you find your people and like, be loved by the right person. Like you're engaged and it's just like literally like I haven't even met him, but I'm just like, he's the one. Like I just know it by the way you talk about your story, by the way, like everything. And I'm just so happy for you because it's like, oh my God, you deserve that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And like you've put up with a lot of shit. And in middle school and high school, like people were mean and they didn't
get the image.
They need to eat their freaking words.
Oh yeah.
And because it's like, but who's like the coolest person now?
I know.
You. And like you walk into a room and it's like, oh, people want to be around her because you're energetic and funny and fun and lighthearted. And it's like,
oh my gosh,
it's so good to see you finally get recognized in the good ways. Whereas before it was like people were saying you were too much.
Yeah.
Or like
they didn't get the vision. They didn't. And you know what? Now they do.
And
now
they're so jealous.
Yes. And literally, like, I wish I could go back sometimes and tell younger me, like, these bitches aren't going to want to be you. Like, in,
just
like,
because they're on the hockey team doesn't mean they're that cool. Like,
exactly.
They literally just know how to skate.
Yeah.
And hit a puck.
Hit the thing into the thing.
Like,
you know?
I promise. And the thing is, you come back home and they're still the exact same freaking person they were in eighth grade.
Yes, they're at the same bars.
Except for now they like drink and they could probably use another shower.
Yeah. And then they treat me like I'm the town celebrity. Oh my God, Addie, it's so
she's
good
back
to
in
see.
Town.
She's back in town.
Oh, it's so good to see me. It was
It
awful to see me in math class in 10th grade.
Yeah,
but
I'm like,
sure.
Okay. But yeah, I think it's just crazy too. Like you were saying, just like how much you can change and everything like that. But no, it's wild life. Growing up, all of it. But yeah, little me, we did it. We're here.
Yeah.
I made it to New York.
Okay. Wild. So how did you make that happen?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So I was not a great student in high school. I didn't, which like we said, like I went through trauma. I had things like we worked on ourselves. We did the work. We improved. But during high school, rough time, had a lot of mental health issues, was just not going to school. Not even like I was doing bad things. I just wasn't going to school. I was like, screw authority. I don't want to go. I hate it. I don't want to be there at the same time every day, all the time. Ugh. So I like barely graduated high school. I had like a 1.3 GPA. Like most of my classes my senior year were just like pass fail. I found out the day before graduation I was graduating. Like it wasn't even the last day of school. That's what I'm saying. Like it wasn't even the last day of school. I had to wait like 2 extra days to know.
And they were like, we can't have her here another year. Just pass her.
Just pass her.
Good
I'm
luck,
pretty
kid.
Sure they were. Like I even had like a teacher my senior year be like, hopefully college will be better. Like, and I was like, well, who knows? And so I took 6 months off and I was like, I'm not going to school right away in the fall. Like I need a minute. And so I actually traveled. Like, I scrounged up, like, all the money I had, and I went to Rome, Florence, and Paris.
So cool.
So cool. And went
for... Did you go with anyone?
Yeah, I went with my friend Alyssa. Okay. So, yeah, we went together, and it was, like, you know, I was 19. I was, like, I got to get out there and see the world. So I did, and then I came back and was, like, okay, like, I loved that. I need to do something that's going to let me do that again. I got to go to school. So I went to community college, and I would highly recommend that to anyone who doesn't know what they're doing, because first of all, it's so cheap. It is literally like my grants covered all my school and then some. Mm-hmm. Like, and most of the professors at community colleges teach at the major universities and then teach at the community colleges as well. So you are getting a $55,000 a year tuition level professor for nothing. And they love teaching us because also a lot of the people in the class actually really want to be there because mm-hmm. they are like trying to change their life or do something.
So rather than just being like, well, my parents are paying for me to go to this 4-year school, or, oh, I want to join a sorority, or, oh, I want to live in the dorms. I don't know. Exactly. I really wanted to live in the dorms and like live on campus and have 4-year life. Felt like right for me. But I love having people on the podcast that like show you don't have to just do that. Cause I feel like where we live, I know it's not everywhere, but like where we live, it is kind of like, oh, you're not going to go to like a 4-year college after high school. Oh my God, you're going to a community college. Like as if it's like some type of failure, but it's literally just smart.
It is.
You're around people that are all different age ranges and stuff. And honestly, because I did a couple classes, I did PSEO. So like got a couple free classes while I was in high school, which I also very much recommend if that's an option, because it was way easier than AP classes, way less time. Super, like, easier than the regular high school classes. I didn't have to go every day, and I got credit for high school and college at the same time, and it was free. So, like, I went into college with a semester done, and I could leave the high school, which at my school, we went to different high schools. At my school, you couldn't leave during the day.
Yeah, like, we couldn't either. Yeah, it was, like, lockdown.
How the hell did you get out all the time?
Girl, I just left. I would just wait. I would just wait for a security guard to leave a door and I would just go.
Yeah. But it was kind of nice that I had that pass then because I could be like,
I'm out of here.
The high school classes aren't happening today.
No.
Yeah, I got to go to college.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is not about me. This is about you. But anyway, I love to hear stories like that because I do think that 17, 18 is so hard, and to feel like you need to know what you're going to do next. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm 25. And the fact that I thought when I was 18, I had to know what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And now all I know is that I want to do a ton of different things because life is too short to like just pick one job and stay in it. Like I want to be like a freaking surf instructor. Well, okay. I don't think I'll ever be a surf instructor. I'm like barely catching the whitewater.
Who knows?
And like, it would be so fun to be a bridal consultant, and it would be so fun to work in children's publishing, and it would be so fun to go work at a hostel. Like there's so many things that it's like, why did I ever think I had to choose one thing? And community college would have like is such a great option.
It is. And like
I love the representation.
Yes. And you just meet like so many different types of people and all different walks of life, which I also think is so cool. And I do agree that like 4 years like at the same university and like getting friends and going into the dorms like is such a cool moment. And I did get to have that eventually because I transferred. But it was just nice to like when you didn't know what you wanted to do, you could kind of just take a bunch of different classes and like not feel as much pressure as well, which was nice because like most of those programs are just 2 years. But they even have like dental programs and like HVAC programs and things like that. But I agree that in our area, like it was very frowned upon. Like you felt like you always had to have like an explanation of like, but I'm gonna go to another school, I'm gonna finish my degree.
And also we were both kind of from towns where people tend to have money.
Yes.
And like a lot of people, their parents were gonna pay for their school and stuff like that. So especially
but in a world where people are driving like brand new BMWs and school,
a brand new Jeep with their like custom license plate with their nickname on it that was like their 16th birthday
and now,
gift.
Exactly.
It's like, I just remember there was, because at my high school, they would, you got to like put on decision day, you got to write your name on a flag and like where what's next for you. And people would write it down. And I remember these kids making fun of one that was like, oh, Century College, which is a community college in our area. And they were just like laughing about it. And I'm like, damn, that's awful because like what if for that person, like they're a first generation college student, like even that, even a community college is a big expense. Like it's cheap compared, but it's still thousands of dollars. And like, I just, it breaks my heart. And so I'm really happy to have someone on here to talk about that.
Yeah. Because I mean, that was my school too. We had our little like flag day and I was holding up my Century College one and people were like, oh, why are you doing that? And I was like, it's a college. I'm going to college eventually. Like, I know I'm going to end up there. Like, I'm going to do it. So yeah, like that was kind of nuts. But I mean, I even had a teacher my senior year at my high school who proceeded to tell the class how important college was. And the talk started like very inspirational. And then he proceeded to get up and in a very blunt way, say that the more education you had, the better your life would be. And then hold his hand in a rank, like a bar graph almost of like, if you don't go to college, your life's only going to be this good. And it's the lowest. And if you only go to community college, your life's going to be this good. And it's only a little bit above. And it's just working its way up. And he's like, once you get to a master's degree and like PhD level, his hand was like almost to the ceiling. And he was like, your life's going to be amazing. And I was just like, you're completely negating the fact that, one, important workers are on every single level of that education bar, okay? Because we're a society. We have to have people in every job to make it work. Like, I hate this context of, like, some jobs are important and some jobs aren't. Like, every job is important, from going to the grocery store and having a teller ringing you out and stocking those shelves to having a doctor when you need a medical emergency. Like, everyone promotes our society. And like at community college, there are technician degrees and dental hygienist degrees and things like that where that they are important. Like, it was just very jarring. And I was like, this attitude is horrendous. Like,
I hate that.
Hate that.
That makes me so angry because it's like, how many people are there in PhD programs or medical doctors that are freaking miserable and just doing it to please somebody else or to be able to say like, oh, I got this degree, and then they get into it and they're miserable. Sure, they're making money. Like, oh, that is actually so frustrating that they said that, because me, looking back at me at that age, that would have got me.
Yes. And I'm also like, with what money? Like, and respectfully, with what money am I supposed to get a doctorate when I live with a single mother who's making, like, on a good year, 35K? Like, and how am I supposed, like, how am I supposed to do that? Like, FAFSA only gets you so far. Yeah. So it was just, like, a lot. But I just took a baby step and was like, okay, we're going to Century. Like, we're just going to like test it out. I took a light class load and I just immediately like thrived. It was just the schedule. That was really all it was.
You had like your freedom and you knew like, I'm going in for an hour. All my attention span only needs to be for an hour.
Yep. And my professors were so much more hands-on and I was treated like an adult. It was like a totally different ball game. And I just wanted to try. I was like, this is my life. Like, it's what I make of it now. Like, if I want to have the things that I want in my life, I have to be the one to forge them. Yay!
Independent woman!
Hell yeah! Which, like, obviously I don't wish financial duress on anyone, and our country should figure out systems in place so that food and shelter are not things that people ever have to worry about in their life. But it does make you have that, like, scrappiness. Like, I knew I had to pick up my bootstraps and do it myself because mommy and daddy weren't going to be there with a paycheck to help me out, to pay my bills, to get a car, to do these things. Like,
because mom was doing it herself.
Yes, because like, mom was doing it herself. And so, yeah, I went there for like a year and a half. I thrived. I literally got like a outstanding student award. I had like my my picture and my plaque like on a wall of the campus. Like,
oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah Because you know in Century how they have like all those like posters of the kids with like,
I haven't been there in so long that I don't remember.
Got it. But there's just like all these posters everywhere. Like, I was one of them and I was like, what the
that's
heck?
Such a big, like, it feels like damn. And especially that's such a testament to, you weren't a failure, you were just in the wrong environment. Like, that wasn't where you were supposed to be. And honestly, like, how can anybody thrive in the high school thing? Like, I just think about, I would wake up early and go to school and be in class all day. And then I would either have like a sport after school or work. And then you get home and you have homework for all six classes. And like math homework for one is going to take you so long because everything's so tedious. You have to show your work, all of this stuff. And I just think And then you're also supposed to get enough sleep, and you're also supposed to eat enough meals, and you're also supposed to go to the fun social events, and you're also supposed to volunteer and jack up your college applications, and you're supposed to do really well on the entrance exams, and you're supposed to figure out what you want with your life and be excited for the next thing and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. How is that sustainable?
Right.
And then you get to college, and also a lot of times in high school, like, they're kind of fear mongering you a little bit by being like, your college professors will never accept this. And then I got to college and it's like, oh wait, they're just real people too. Like, they're chill. My college professor will sometimes get sick and be like, sorry guys, no class today. Yes. Or he'll be like, oh my God, you got in a car accident this weekend. Like, it's fine. Like, just turn it in. We'll give you an extra 2 weeks. Like, are you okay? Like, and I was like, oh my God, I thought that it was going to be so cutthroat. And maybe it depends where you go to school, you know?
Yeah.
But especially with community college too, because there's so many people from different walks of life. I just remember one of my professors there, I don't know, he was just so chill. And he'd be like, who didn't read the reading today? And you'd be like, raise my hand. He'd be like, okay, go out in the hallway and join us after you're done. Like, I'm reading it.
Yeah. And they are so much more understanding because you have people there who are single parents or working and going to school at night and things like that. So they're more understanding. But, like, it was not like it's easy. But that was the thing. I feel like high school, the content wasn't hard. And, like, if you were in AP classes, it is not like the content was harder. There was just more work to do.
There was just too much to do.
Yes.
It was, like, more such work. Overwhelm.
Mm-hmm. Whereas college, a very level amount of work, but the content was way more probing on my mind. Like, I had to think way harder. And that is what I thrive in way more. And, like, I was just like, it's just quantity over quality in public schools most of the time. It's just like, how much more work can you accomplish?
Yeah.
How faster, like, how much faster can you accomplish it?
And how much are you doing? How much are you involved in? And even, like, at my job now, I see, because we have, like, teenagers, you know, and they're getting ready to go to school or, like, talking about this or that, and they're so stressed, and I just want to, like, I kind of want to shake them and be like, I was you. You need to chill out.
Yes.
I promise you, I know that you feel, like, really good about being like, yeah, and I volunteer at my church every weekend, and also I got to do this, and also I'm in marching band, and also blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I want to shake them and be like, literally, don't take 4 AP classes. This is your senior year. Go have fun.
Yes,
take none of them, because I promise you, AP is going to be way harder. You have to pass the test. It's going to be harder than college.
Yes.
And for what? I took AP US History. I don't care about learning about history. It's just not for me.
No.
And please don't come at me for saying that. Like, I get it. It's important. You need to know. I don't care. I shouldn't have been taking an AP class.
Well, and also too, like, in white, rich, public high schools, the AP history you're learning is so whitewashed and so pro-America and so just like, we're going to learn about the Holocaust for the 15th time from a different angle about how we really did save them all and we're perfect. And you're like, okay. And then you get to college and you take one history class and you're like, wait a damn minute. Run that back.
And they're like, of course you've learned this all before. And you're like, Well,
did I? I don't remember.
I learned about the Battle of Bunker Hill.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I get what you were saying in that regard of just like, oh, good, another white man telling me about how good white men are. Right, that's accurate. Like, okay.
But so how long were you at?
Century.
Century.
I was there for a year and a half.
Okay.
And then I just was like, okay, like, I'm rounding out, like, having all my gen eds done. Like, I gotta kind of figure out what's next. And I feel like in my brain, whenever I make big decisions, just one day I just go, okay, and I just do it. Like, it's not like there was a lot of premeditation or anything. I was just like, okay, girl, like, you said you wanted to get out to New York. How? And so I just started looking at schools and really thinking of, like, what I wanted to do next steps. And I was like, well, I love fashion. Hello. I love fashion so much.
You've always just, like, taken risks. I want to see aesthetically because you would not, it's not just fashion. Like, it's also jewelry, your hair, your makeup, like, your tattoos, like, everything.
Yes. Just always, like, marching to the beat of my own drum. But yeah, so I just started looking at schools, and then I was like, okay, like, now's the time. So I got a couple professors at Century to write me recommendation letters, which they were so amazing, and I still have them and read them sometimes, and I just loved my professors there so much. They definitely, like, helped form me into the student I was and, like, the woman I was, which was so lovely. And yeah, so I then just started applying. I applied to Parsons and FIT and Marymount Manhattan and was like, we'll see. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I gave it my best. I wrote my essays. I had them proofread. I had my recommendation letters. I just sent it off and was like, well, we'll see what happens. And I ended up getting into all three schools.
Damn.
Yeah. So then I was like, oh, crap.
Now,
like,
I actually have to make a decision. You were just hoping to get into one.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay. So went out toward the mall, and FIT I loved because of the work opportunities. They like really pushed there that like this is like a work opportunity based college. Like, we want you to get internships. We have the best connections to like all the major companies, and any realm you want to be in, like, we will. And might I add too, like, during school, what I wanted to do post school changed every other month. I was mm-hmm. like, maybe I want to do like journalism and do fashion journalism, or maybe I want to do styling in like movies and TV, or maybe I actually want to go to fashion law, pull like an Elle Woods Legally Blonde thing.
Oh, dang.
And go to law school post this. Like, there were so many different avenues, but I was like, again, got to have the building blocks. Like, I have to do this first to figure out what comes next. So I accepted my offer to FIT in fashion business management and was like set to go that semester. So I just kind of got my ducks in a row, like getting rid of stuff, saying bye to people, like figuring out all like my dorming and everything like that, trying to like connect with people who are going to be there. And the way FIT was set up, like, you had to be on the dorms if you were out of state transfer, like, no matter what, like, no matter what
year. That's nice.
Which was nice. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to worry about like housing and trying to find like an apartment. And I'm so grateful because the year living there on the dorm, like in the dorms, because FIT is like a very tiny campus in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. It's one block. Like, we have the school buildings on one side and the dorms on the other. So you're in this little bubble in mm-hmm. Manhattan. And I remember thinking, like, this is the real New York. Like, this is, yeah, I'm in Manhattan. Like, how could it not be the real New York experience? And then pandemic happened, had to go home, did online school for a year and a half.
Oh, God.
Which sucks.
That sucks. Like, you had made it.
I made it. I was there for like 10 months and then the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. Which I will say, the pandemic brought me my fiance, so I can't be that mad. Like, love that man.
Well, he went to FIT too, didn't he?
Yeah. But the pandemic was when it was kind of like, okay, like, fire's under my butt. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm going to tell this man I have a crush on him, I got to do it, and I got to do it now. And yeah, I told him I had a crush on him, and he was like, duh.
It's like, yeah, we're in love, obviously. Yeah. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, his exact...
Waiting for you to figure it out.
Literally. His exact line was like, well, yeah, I mean, like, you're it for me. Like, duh. And I was like,
oh my God.
Sick.
He was just patiently waiting. He's like, yeah, waiting. This is it. She'll figure it out.
Exactly.
She'll know she's with the wrong one.
And I was. And now I'm engaged to definitely the right one. Love my man.
Aww.
But yeah, so anyways, again, pandemic put a freaking wrench in my plans. Was home for a year and a half on online school and then went back and was like actually in my own apartment then off mm-hmm. campus.
Were you in the same general area then?
No, because
it had to have. Yeah, I was going to say it had to have been impossible to like.
Yeah.
Like, you're in New Jersey now going to school.
Literally. But no, because it was a very rude awakening after that, because my campus is on like West 27th and 7th. Like, it was like midtown, like lower area, like very, very, very pristine, nice area. It's not like the place you'd want to live, but like it's the place where everything is. And so I could only afford something up in Harlem. I was on 148th Street. I just got close enough to a train line that got me close enough to school. That was like all I needed. I was like, as long as I can walk quickly to the train, get on, and then just I'm off and I'm there, works for me.
How far were you? Like, what was your commute to class?
It was like 30 minutes.
Okay.
Not that bad. Because again, like, hop on a train, you sit down, you get off, I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to transfer anything, which mm-hmm. is really nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so that was like the hardest year of my life. Like, that was New York. Like, my dorm experience, oh girl.
Cushy.
Yeah, I was going to school full time. I had an internship 4 days a week, and I was working 3 days a week. So I had 7 days a week I was doing something. I did not have one day off. I was pulling 95 to 100 hour weeks.
Oh my God.
I was a shell of a human.
What were you doing for your internship?
For my internship, I did a couple things. First, I was a merchandising intern for this like little consignment shop. It was just to do something. I got paid in, like shopping expenses. Like I could just buy stuff from their store with my hours earned. Like it was crazy.
From a consignment.
Yeah, from a consignment store. I did get a Dior bag, so I cannot be so mad. Okay, right. But like that's not legal. That's not legal.
Certainly not.
No, they were not claiming that on their taxes. Like, nah.
Yeah, like, sure, we didn't pay for any of this stuff. You can take it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's donated. Go for it. Like, yeah. So bad. And then I got a product development intern position with Lian Feng, which the best way I can describe this, it was the, it was the Dunder Mifflin of fashion.
Okay.
I was the middleman between the clothing manufacturers and the retailers.
Okay.
So yeah, I was like the Dunder Mifflin of clothes.
Okay.
We worked with like Walmart and Land's End and Aeropostale.
Okay.
Another word I realized was pronounced way differently. I thought Aeropostale. We're Midwest. It's yeah. Aeropostale. Aeropostale.
No. Yes. That sounds so pretentious for what it is.
Uh-huh. But like I remember first day.
It was Aeropostale.
It was Aeropostale. And I said it and my boss was like, Aeropostale? And I went.
Let's not call it what it. We're talking about graphic tees, right?
Yes.
It's not Aeropostale.
No, it's not Aeropostale. No, it's Aeropostale, girl. Get out of here. And now this word sounds like nothing to me. I'm like, Aeropostale, Aeropostale?
Now it's like, what am I even saying? It doesn't sound like a real word.
Yeah. But so, yeah, we worked with a few big brands and just helped with like product development and design. And that was like a lot. That was probably my Devil Wears Prada boss moment. Like my boss was cuckoo nutso bananas.
Yeah. Like what's the difference between these two belts?
That, but also like we have to match this like plastic slider with the fabric of the like actual bra because we're making bras and underwear, y'all. Like yeah. It was not rocket science. And I would have to go outside and show it in sunlight and then I have to go in the light box and look at it there and I have to look at it in the office and I have to make sure it looks like good in every lighting and in every case, I would be like, yeah, I think it's good. And she'd be like, awful. And I'd be like,
that's exactly what I was thinking. It was a test. It was a test for you.
Yeah. And I was like, it looks goodly bad. Like, I was like, disgusting.
Of course. Obviously.
My thoughts, exactly. Yeah. And she was just like a workaholic and it was a lot. But yeah, so I was there. And then I was a hostess at a steakhouse. That was how I was making my ends meet. And I was making enough money to pay my rent and my utilities. And I had like $50 left over at the end of the month to make it for groceries and public transportation, which a lot of times.
What?
I hopped the train. I hopped it. And I had a lovely boyfriend, now fiance, who would sneak me food out of the kitchen because we worked at the same steakhouse. He would sneak me food, so I would eat a lot of free food.
Okay. I was going to say $50 for groceries for a month that can't work.
Yeah, no, it was bad. And somehow it just always magically worked out. Like, I was fine. I would, like, get food at work sometimes, like lunches and things for free. Yeah, and also, too, like, it was the era still of delivery grocery services, and they all had so many different, like, coupon codes and things, so you could finesse and get, like, $150 of food for like $20 with coupon. Yes, because it was like GoPuff and
use like a different one every time.
Yes.
Off your first order.
Yeah. Yes. And so we would literally use like school email, personal email, my mom's email, my sister's email. I was using like everybody's email.
And it's free to make an email. It's free. So all you have to do is keep making new emails.
Yes. And I was getting the same discount. So like that was helping a ton as well for food, everything like that. But yeah, so.
But you shouldn't have to do
shouldn't
that.
Shouldn't have to do that. But I did. I did. And that was another moment of like, we thought people were wealthy in the Midwest and you go to New York and you're like, your dad works for Warner Brothers. Got it. Like a CFO of Warner Brothers. Sick. Like you have like three homes alone just in the country and then stuff overseas. Like so much money.
And you're like, and I am finessing GoPuff.
Right? I'm out here getting Ben and Jerry's for free, baby.
Yeah, I'm making new email addresses so I can eat today.
Yeah.
But you go on with your multiple homes.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, again, not a lot of people, like, paid for their own rent and things. So that was something that was kind of jarring to learn that, like, oh, like, New York is not always the land of opportunity for everyone, because a lot of these kids have connections. And like, listen, if I had connections, I'd be using them too. Like, I get it. But like, that also, more so and more importantly, allows businesses to not have to pay for internships and be able to really milk free labor, because these kids' parents pay their bills. So there's no pressure for them to actually have to pay their intern level workers, because someone with mommy and daddy's money will be able to work it for free. And they're, so kids who are like me, who have to get paid internships, who have to find things that will pay them, just can't do certain opportunities because I will literally be homeless.
Yeah. Which, no, you're like, I would love to take this, but I also need to be able to afford to live.
Yes.
And yeah, it's kind of hard because New York is like, there was a nonprofit in New York that I really wanted to work for. Like, that was my dream job. You know, at the end of college, you're supposed to like kind of, for one of my classes, we need to present about like, a company and whatever. And I was like, I really would love to work there, but it's this, and it's a big nonprofit, but a job there would pay like $35,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I was like, I couldn't even make that work here.
No.
Like, especially not in New York.
Yeah.
And you had to be in the office. And I was like, how is that working for anyone? Like, It was kind of my dream, but I also was like, maybe I do want to be a New York person now, knowing myself, like living more life and everything. I'm like, I'm just not really a city girl. Like, I like to explore the city, but I like to be like, living wise, I'm an Ocean Island girl. So
yeah, you need beach.
But that's kind of what you learn about yourself growing up too, is like, also when you're a bit younger, you're like, well, I could be this or I could be that or I could be this. And so like, for you, when we talked and you were like, I was like, oh my God, like, are you just living your best life in New York? And you were like, nope, I don't really love it.
I didn't. The first year was like horrible, especially because like, I had no time to go in New York. I like would get maybe one day off randomly every now and again. And then finally,
even then you're like trying to pick up a shift so you can afford to freaking eat.
Yes. And also everything's so expensive to do there. So it's like, I could go to the museums and things with like my student pass and everything, so I could get in for free, which was great. And I would do that. But like, food, so expensive. Activities, expensive. Like, what? And what is a girl to do? I'm just here trying to live my New York fantasy, which was, so I would just sometimes just walk around the city and just stare and be like, maybe one day, you know, whatever. But we made it through. I graduated. I ended up getting a job through my second internship with Lee and Fung. I got a job as a production assistant and did that for like 5 months, and then got my job at David Yurman. And I was that was my big girl corporate job. And that was when the clouds finally parted. And I was like, like, no more internship, no more school. I just have to work a 9-to-5. Get out of town. Yeah. I have so much time in the world. Oh my gosh. The world is mine to conquer. Yeah. And I was actually also making like enough money to where I was like, I can go out like once or twice a week.
Yeah.
What? That,
yeah.
Yeah. Which was crazy. But again, still living in Harlem the whole time because I loved my neighborhood. It was beautiful. It was amazing. I had wonderful neighbors, a wonderful community, and like, got that kind of small town feel almost. Like, I knew the names of my grocery store clerks. Shout out Miguel. Love you, man.
Oh, I bet he misses you.
Right? But like, yeah. And we would like talk with them, and it was great. So yeah. And then I worked at David Yurman. I was my corporate girly era. I was a costing analyst in their corporate office in Tribeca.
Wow. Like,
wow. Big shiny job, which I do think is hilarious, because if I had that job in Minnesota, it would just be a job. Like, my family would not be like, this girl's curing cancer level proud. Like, they would just be like, yeah, she got a really good job post school. Like, good for her. But something about it being in New York, my family was like, you are forging your own path. And look at you.
But you were. Well, because again, like you were saying before, though, is you're like, it's not actually maybe the land of opportunities for everyone. Like, it actually is a big deal to make it there in that way. Also, I think probably just because they had watched you like really kind of struggle for it and work for it. And
yeah,
really, like, you saw what you wanted, you made it happen. I mean, so weird when you look back and be like, oh my God, I can't believe what I was doing to like survive then. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I would like leave my house at 7 a.m. and not come back till 10 p.m. And that's when I would make dinner and do all the dishes. Mm-hmm. And, or like maybe I'd stop in quick in the middle of the day to eat a couple carrots and like change out my books or whatever, because I would have work and school and studying and this or that. And then I just think like, oh my God, I live a much more chill lifestyle now that I'm like, I can't believe I used to leave the house for like that many hours a day. I can't believe I used to just be on all the time like yeah. that. It's just kind of crazy what you do to make it, to no, make it work.
But it is so crazy. I mean,
at a certain point that has to give.
It does. Cause like even at like the peak of busyness, like just a snippet of like 3 days of my life was like a Thursday. I would have class from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. And then I would go work at the steakhouse from 6 p.m. to close, which was midnight. So I wouldn't get home until like 1:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Then I would have my internship Friday morning at 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. And then I would go back into work at the steakhouse from 6 p.m. to close. And we closed later. So I would be there until 1 a.m. on mm-hmm. Fridays. And then I, again, wouldn't get home till 2. And then I would work an opening shift on Saturday at my steakhouse from like, I think it was like noon to like 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I was just doing that every single week and still having class then again on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday.
And how, like, when did you do homework?
Just at night and like in between breaks and classes. Like I would kind of try and plan it to where if I was at school, I would give myself like a 2 hour break in between my classes to be able to do my homework. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just go, go, go all the time. Constant. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And so got through all of that, was my corporate girly. And then it was kind of, again, like, okay, like, and what's next? I'm now at this stage. I'm out of school I've been out of school now for like a year at that point. Living in the city, working in the city, like things are starting to settle. Like I'm getting a routine. I've got a great group of friends. I love my friends so much in New York. I was so blessed because it's such a big city and I just met like the most incredible mm-hmm. people. I just love them. Oh my God, so much. It's very much like what you were saying earlier. Like I found my people, like they were just, they're my soul family.
Yeah. Love like them. They appreciate you for like everything that you are.
Yes, exactly. And I was thinking, okay, like what's next steps? And Walker too was getting really like set up. That's my fiance. He was getting really set up in like the restaurant industry. That's what he wants to be in. And so we're like, okay, like next steps, like realistically, like where can our life end up here? And we realized nowhere. We realized no matter how hard I worked at my corporate job and how much money I made and how much money he made and if he even opened his own restaurant like he wanted to, like we would be broke to some level in New York to some degree. We would not be able to own like we wanted to. We wouldn't be able to travel the world as much as we wanted to because mm-hmm. rent was just so much money and food was so much money. I mean, a carton of strawberries there is like $7 mm-hmm. on the cheap end. And you come back to the Midwest and it's like $2.99. And I was like, give me 20. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So we just had to have like a really hard talk of like, okay, like then what's next? Like what's the next move? And that was when I made the hardest decision ever and was like, New York is great and wonderful and was such a pivotal part of my life and was a dream accomplished and was beautiful and hard and just strengthening and a formative time, but it's not going to be home. It's just still, and I just would always think back to Minnesota. I just missed her. Mm-hmm. I missed her so much. And I think too, like being a kid and not being 21 as well, like Minneapolis and St. Paul is like, what's there to do there? Like mm-hmm. I'm 16. I can't do anything there. And so being an adult and realizing like how great the scenes are in the mm-hmm. Twin Cities and everything for food and going out and just like stores and fun and fashion and culture, we just realized like, okay, like it's time, let's do it. And so now I'm back in yeah. the Midwest and I am loving it. So
good. I'm so glad that it felt like a good move for yeah. you guys, because that's a hard realization to come to too, because mm-hmm. it's like, no, I made my dream happen. I feel like I can't just leave. Like it almost yep. feels like you're giving up or something, or when you realize it's not what you thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough realization. Like I kind of felt that when I went to Hawaii and I was like, I can't believe I am feeling this way, but like my gut is telling me I need to leave. Like mm-hmm. maybe it's okay that I did the thing and I accomplished it and that's what I did, but it wasn't what I thought. Like I thought I was going to, when I moved there, I thought I was going to live there like for the next few years, like right. foreseeable future. And then I was there for 6 months and I was like, my gut is telling me like my time here is over.
Yep.
And that was like a really tough thing, especially when it's not what you think it's going to be, or things are just like, you're like, I knew it was going to be expensive, but I didn't know that it was going to be like, I go to the grocery store and I end up just like leaving without anything because everything was so expensive. I like couldn't fathom paying like $8 for a bag of shredded cheese.
I know. Cause like, you feel that too. Like, especially in Hawaii, like food deserts are freaking real, y'all. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy how bad it can be when food is not like readily accessible to you, you know, like especially in New York too, like there's no superstores. They, which is a great thing, like promoting small businesses, and like they wanted to keep like deli culture alive because there's like a little corner deli store in like every block pretty much.
But then you have to go to a lot of different places and like, how do you have time to do that when you are, when you are doing your schedule that you were just telling me, like you don't have time to go to all these different places. And
it's just, it was a lot. So, yeah. And it was like such a hard decision because on paper, nothing, and it, and in reality, nothing was wrong with my life in New York. I had a great apartment that I could afford. I was making plenty of money. Mm-hmm. I had a great job that wasn't going anywhere anytime soon. Great friends. Mm-hmm. Walker also had great jobs, great friends. Like, we were doing amazing. But there was just something, like you were saying, like in my gut where I was just like, this isn't about now. There's not a crisis now. It's about what comes in 3 years, what comes in 5 years. And I'm a Capricorn, okay? I love a plan. Okay, 5, 10, 15, 20, my death, beautiful. I'm thinking about it all.
Yeah. Well, you guys are also getting married. And like you think about, okay, well, you know, you had your life together, but also like marriage is kind of a symbol of like, okay, we're starting our life together. Like we're a unit now, even though you kind of already have been.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, you want to be able to be married and not have a roommate. You want to be able to have those dreams, you know, like you, he wants to have his own restaurant and you don't want to be competing with every other place. Like he might have more of a chance of surviving if he's, if it's here. And also just like, yeah, you had a great job, but like, did you love what you were doing?
No.
Yeah.
I was not passionate about it, you know?
And it's really hard when you realize you're doing work that you don't care about, you're not passionate about. It's like, oh my God, wait, am I a slacker? Like, why am I being such a bad worker? This isn't who I am. And then you realize, no, I can be great when I'm in the right thing.
Yep.
When I'm doing something that I care about. And that's what we were talking about last time we saw each other. Something I did kind of want to touch on too is just, you're a Midwest girl.
Yeah.
Like Midwest to New York is so different. And I feel like especially now, like we see so much of people like constantly trying to change themselves. And I feel like it would be so easy to get caught up in, oh, well, maybe I should get this done or that done or this done. And like with Love Island UK this year, we saw like everybody's like, oh my God, like they all look
crazy.
Like, it's too much. And I just feel like you see that more in those big areas, like New York and stuff like that. And then coming back to the Midwest, how is that? Do you feel like you literally like feel the difference, see the difference?
It felt like,
And I also like, I'm not saying like those things are bad or like shame to anyone who gets it, but
not at all.
It just like has to be kind of a shock.
Yes. And it's
in the attitude towards it.
No, 100%. And again, I agree. Like, I'm not shaming any women who decide to cosmetically enhance their features. But when, you know, it's what you're seeing on social media and it's what you're seeing when you're talking with people out and about and you're then seeing like personal friends do it as well, like, no matter what, like, you're gonna at some point in your brain be like, do I need to do it too? And I did. Like, I got some, like, Botox, and it was fine. Like, it didn't change my life. Like, I was like, no, actually, I'm fine. It kind of felt weird, honestly. So I just decided, like, wasn't for me. And, again, like, not thinking I'm superior in any way for deciding it's not for me, because I know at 45, I'm going to be getting these forehead wrinkles zip-zap-bip-bapped, okay? Yeah. These are going to be gone. Yeah. But it is just, like, comparison and perfection or the thief of joy. Like I was looking around and every woman there is like so beautiful, and you just start to feel like, oh my God, like I need to be doing this. I need to be getting this piece of clothing or doing my makeup this certain way or styling my hair this certain way or anything. Just like always being like on the 110% like best possible version of yourself. I feel like I was always just somewhat in some way kind of falling short. You know, there's always so many talks about weight and new beauty trends and, oh my gosh, like this different injection and this different facial and this different technique and things of stuff to do. And when I got back to the Midwest, it was like every little voice that was in my head just went silent. Like it felt like from instead being in New York, where the second you leave the apartment, it's like you're in a crowded room, like a party where everyone's just talking so loud all the time. And it's just like that in your head all the time. And then I got back to the Midwest and it was like I was sitting out on a porch all by myself and I just heard nothing anymore. It was all the noise just went away. And that in itself was like priceless.
Yeah. Like the ultimate, okay, I made the right decision.
Yeah. Just for my inner peace, because it is just so like that. And yeah, it helped me feel like really sure of my decision because it's always hard. I mean, it was the definition of bittersweet leaving because I love my people so much. And even like I'm a Midwest girl, like most of my friends I made are also from the Midwest. Like I got Wisconsiners and Iowaners.
I don't know what you would call them.
I don't know. Iowa people.
Iowans.
Illinoisans.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got the Midwest clan with me. I did get some stragglers. I got a Florida girl. I got some New York, some Vermonters.
Yeah. From all over the place. And that's part of the beauty of it. There's so many great things about it, but it is hard when you're like, oh my gosh, this era of life, this life I built, I spent years cultivating, like collecting my friends and my little places and my grocery store clerks, Miguel, and like this and that, like my lifestyle, like collected it. This is an era of life. And now it's time to move on to the next one. Like I can't just like go back to it. Like it's not like I'm just going home to visit and I'm going to come back and my life is still here. And that's a really, even when you know you're doing the right thing, even though it feels like gut, this is what's right, it's still hard. And that's what's 100%. Like the bitter definition of bittersweet. Like I totally feel you in that, because I'm about to enter a new era of life, like moving out of where I live now. I've lived here for a year and a half. I've been back in Minnesota and then gonna be going and exploring more and just seeing what's next for me and trying different things. And it's like, it's bittersweet. I'm excited for what's next, but it's also, oh my gosh, I always just thought, like, it's like almost feels like, oh, I'm trying to savor every little thing and like, oh, I live in this house and I love this house and I live in this neighborhood and I love this neighborhood. And I don't feel like I necessarily took it for granted, but at the same time, you kind of feel like you did, because before you didn't think there was a finite date for it to end.
Yes, 100%. It felt like the last month I was in New York, I was like photo scanning every memory to be like, and I'm never going to forget what this felt like. And I'm never going to forget how hanging out with these people and being at this place was. And yeah, especially too, like being from Minnesota, like my fiance's from Michigan. So like moving to Minnesota is like a new adventure for him, like moving to New York was. But like I have like friendships here. I have things established. And so it was like also finding the balance of, it's not going to be like it was when I lived here as a kid. Like I want to forge my own life here still. Like I want to live in a new part of the city and like part of the state and live in a new city and still meet new people and grow my circle. And I'm I started a new career. I'm a bridal stylist now and absolutely loving it. Totally feel
that just feels like such a good job for you. Like you're so good at like hyping people up, getting people excited. Like if I came in and you were my bridal stylist, like just, I don't know you at all, I'm just a person, I would be like, oh my God, okay, I feel okay, because she just wants to have fun with it. She wants to help. Like, it seems like such a good job for you.
It's great, because it's like everything I loved about fashion, like coming together, because that's something too that I was grappling with in my line of work, was like, it was so great being involved in fashion and like high-end jewelry near the end of it and stuff. Like, that was so cool. But you are promoting mass overconsumption. Like, that is my job at the end of the day. Like, my job exists and is successful because I am making sure people are buying things that inherently they do not need, and a lot of it. Like, it's just really grappling, especially when I was with my production company, Li & Fung. Like, you're producing for Walmart. Like, I'm making swimsuits that cost 99 cents to make, and they're selling them for $6.99. And it's just like, you get into the brain loop of, if this costs 99 cents to make, including labor, how much is that person making that swimsuit top actually getting paid in the country?
Not even a cent.
Not even a cent. And it's just like, oh my God, like, there's no escaping it. Like, if you get a piece of clothing and it has the recycled, this, you know, this garment's made with recycled materials tag on it, most consumers would think, this entire garment is made of recycled materials. No, it just has to be 30%. And that's what they do. They hit that 30% minimum mark, and then the rest is new production because it's cheaper to make new than it is to recycle old. And so it's just like, oh my God, like there's no escaping it.
And it's also like when it was built with cheap materials in the first place, how much can they really do with recycling it? Like it will fall apart.
It will. Like the only thing you can really recycle is cotton.
Yeah. And like that's why people have their Shein clothes for a very short amount of time, because it literally like
disintegrates.
Like it doesn't hold up.
Yeah, exactly. So
which I mean, it's kind of hard because even if, let's say I'm not shopping directly at Shein, but even if I shop at like some store that is, you know, storefront, whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're sourcing from any place different. Like just because I go to a boutique and pay a ton more money for it doesn't mean I'm getting anything really better.
Exactly. Because, you know, they're made out of the same factories. Like they're, it's not like there's a bajillion factories over there. Like they're, most of the time these retailers are working with the same factories. They're just maybe paying the workers a little more, but most likely maybe just taking a bigger profit. Yeah. Like that's really all it is.
That's why it's so hard too. Cause you're like, oh, well, I'd rather support this local business or this or that. But then it's also like, yeah, but if I'm getting the exact same product and I'm supporting it anyway, you might as well pay less for it.
Right.
And that's why Shein and other things are thriving.
100%. And I feel like it's just so hard. And
it's like not even up to the consumer to change it.
No. And it's something too. I mean, it's like a whole other topic I am so like could get into and so passionate about. But like, I think at this point now, because so many levels, like you can't really escape it. And working with companies that don't produce their stuff ethically, like it's not about smart consumption as much as it is just preventing overconsumption. Really think about all those things in your online cart and think, do I need all 15 of these items? Probably not. Like you probably only need 5, you know, or shopping secondhand. Like it's so great. But yeah, just because like overconsumption is the biggest issue of it all. Like that's the part that really drives it and is like the bad issue, is that people buy so much, so fast, so often. So yeah, but anyways, so bridal was like the perfect culmination because I got to still be in fashion and working with designers and like really being hands-on. The salon I work at is so great. Kay Bella, if you ever want to go, it's awesome. It's in Minneapolis. I'll help you find your dream dress. But it's so great because we work so closely with the designers, so I get to have that. But it's slow consumption because who's buying 15 wedding dresses? Nobody. Like it's slow production. Most of them produce at ateliers where their seamstresses are being paid very fairly. And they're sourcing great fabric because it's a very expensive garment. So like that also gets kind of thrown out. Like in, I get to talk with people and just like gibby gab. I love a gibby gab.
And I'm a yapper. So it's so important. Like people are putting so much thought and effort into this. Like, yeah, you are kind of buying it for one day. Maybe. Right. Maybe. Maybe. Some people pass it down. Some people, I don't know.
Exactly.
And maybe not. But even so, I totally see that side of where you're coming from now. I can see why that would feel better working in your industry when you feel like, yes, this is expensive, but people are buying it with such a like intent and purpose and so much like sentimentality.
Yes. Yeah. No, 100%. And because it's for like the most important day of their life so far, you know, unless they've had children beforehand or, you know, had some crazy.
It's cool a very important day.
It's a very important day.
Yeah.
It's up there, ranking top five.
Yeah. And it's so fun too because you're a bride.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we just get to like kiki and it's great. But like, yeah, I love it a lot. But that was another thing too, that was a driving force of leaving New York, is I had this realization when I was looking at dresses and things that like this is something I might want to do. And I looked into it in New York. Like I even got an offer to work at a salon in New York and I couldn't. I would either have to stay working my corporate job and be working 6 days, 7 days a week again, which I don't want to go back to. We had that trauma. I'm good.
Yeah. You want to live your life. Like what's the point of living there if you're not enjoying it.
Exactly. Or I was going to have to work there only part-time and take like a 50% pay cut in a city that I cannot afford to take a 50% pay cut mm-hmm. in at all. So it was just not a reality. Like I wasn't going to be able to do it there. And so that was a big thing too. And same with my fiance, he wants to open his own restaurant. And unless you get like a million investors or have a ton of cash on hand, you can't do that on your own. And he didn't want a million investors and different voices coming in. Like mm-hmm. he wants to be able to forge his own path. And like even the owner of the restaurant he worked at that he loved, like they don't actually technically even like own the building. They're just leasing it. And the owner of said restaurant does not even own his own home. Like he's renting his home. Like it was just that too of like Walker being like, we're not even going to be able to like own a house even if I am the big man on top. Mm-hmm. Like, and in New York too, it's like sometimes it doesn't even make sense to own and it's just so complicated and adulting is hard.
So hard.
And so it was just kind of like, okay, do we wait until we're married and give it a couple more years or do we go now? And it just kind of all fell into place to go now. So we did. And I'm here and I'm a bridal stylist and I love it. And he's already found restaurants he's working at that he loves.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's just like so great. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Aw. I'm so happy. I'm so happy you're back, even though I'm about to leave.
I know. And now you're leaving.
But the nice thing is, like, this is always my home base. So it's like, and I just, I am so mm-hmm. happy to have had this time to, like, really shine a light on your story and your path. Yeah. And I just think that it's really inspiring. And I love the ups and downs of it. Like, figuring out who you are along the way and achieving your dream and being, like, being okay when it's time to call it and be like, you know what? Actually, we have a new dream.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's been so much fun to have you on. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. This was freaking fun.
It is fun, right?
This was really fun.
Yeah. People love it.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
That's what we got.
Bye.
Bye.